Right off the bat, you will notice that our reading today is remarkable for two reasons. First, this is a seemingly simple but deceptively complex parable that Jesus offers us. And second, in this reading, we find what has to be the world's least competent farmer. I imagine that most of you notice this, given that most of you are connected to a farm in some way. Maybe you farm professionally or semi-professionally. Maybe you farm as a hobby. Maybe you live on the family farm. Or maybe the extent of your farming is that you get your insurance from Farm Bureau or State Farm. And thankfully, none of you have bought the farm. That's nice. But I have no doubt that all of you recognize that something in this parable is a bit off. The farmer, the sower in the case, is wasting seed. He's scattering seeds about like it's Mardi Gras and he's throwing out beads. Seeds are expensive. I know, because when I'm putting out grass seed on my lawn, I'm certainly not throwing them up on the driveway or in the flower beds or on the sidewalk where they're going to be wasted. But in this parable, you'll have noticed that the sower cast, 75% of his seed in places where it's not meant to grow. So this got me to thinking about farmers. So I got a couple thoughts on farmers. Did you hear about the farmer?
Yeah.
Did you hear about the farmer who built a pig-powered car? He had to get rid of it because every time he turned a corner, the tires would squeal. Come on, laugh at that. There we go. It's okay. There's more. Oh, there's more. Oh, yeah. Oh, the early service loved them. Well, not that one. Then there was a farmer who was milking his cow, and he was just getting a good rhythm going when a bug flew in, swirled around his head, and went right into the ear of the cow. It didn't bother the farmer a bit until the bug squirted out into the bucket. You see, it had gone in one ear and out the other. Yeah. Two young calves are watching TV when their mother comes in and says, "Boys, it's past your bedtime. Past your bedtime." All right, my last one. I love to watch chickens just walking around. It's like poultry in motion. All right, so in our reading today, Jesus is living in Capernaum, which is in, as you know, the province of Galilee. And he leaves his house one day and he goes to sit by the lake, which is the Sea of Galilee. And I assume he goes there to be alone, to pray. But the people find him and they crowd about him. And he is forced to get into a boat and move offshore a bit. And from out on the water, then he is able to speak to the crowd on the beach. He tells them this parable. Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the hard, packed dirt of the path, and the birds quickly ate the seeds. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where there wasn't much soil. The seeds germinated quickly, but since there was very little soil and no roots, when the sun got hot, the plants withered and died. Other seeds fell among thorns. The seeds took root, but the thorns choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil, and they took root and produced grain. Some produced 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And Jesus ends this parable saying, "Let anyone with ears listen." That is the parable. As I said, it's simple, but as we'll see, deceivingly complex. So what does this parable mean? Well, the disciples, they couldn't figure it out, so they asked Jesus to explain it. But before we go there, let's consider parables themselves for a moment. What is a parable? Now, if you answered that it is a short story used by Jesus as a teaching tool, you would be correct. But it's more than that. The word parable is from a Greek word which means to cast alongside. A parable is something that is placed next to something else in order to illuminate that thing. Think about those new Christmas lights that people put in front of their homes. Those lights that shine moving patterns and images on the house. The house itself doesn't change, but we see it differently with those lights and those patterns. Parables, they come to us as complete stories, such as the prodigal son, or they can be brief as two sentences. The parable of the sower, the one we read today, is unique in that Matthew offers an explanation for it. It's the only parable that comes with an explanation. Jesus tells this parable to the crowd, and the disciples ask him then, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus' response is not all that clear. He says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." In other words, you learned about the kingdom from me, they have not. In order to teach them about the kingdom, I need to use parables. Then Jesus offers his interpretation of the parable. And it is indeed about the kingdom of heaven. Those people who hear the kingdom, they can be divided into four different groups. The first group, they're like seeds that fall on a path. The second group is like seeds that fall on rocky soil. The third group falls into the thorns, and the fourth falls in good soil. So what does it mean to hear the word of the kingdom? Well, the word of the kingdom comes to us in many different forms. It comes to us in the pages of Scripture. It comes to us in a scintillating sermon, or maybe a Sunday school class, or the caring testimony of a friend, or the words of a traveling prophet, or in an act of compassion. The word of the kingdom comes in all of these and more. In his explanation to the disciples, Jesus says that sometimes the word comes to people who are not prepared to accept it. And when this happened, the word just bounces off of them like seeds that are dropped on a sidewalk. And the evil one, he says, snatches the word away like birds pecking at those seeds. Other times the word hits someone who does accept it and receives it with enthusiasm and excitement. The word to this person becomes the new best thing for them, and they wear it proudly like a new coat for all to see. But this, we are warned, is a rocky ground person who is high on enthusiasm but low on commitment. And the first time that they encounter trouble or persecution because of this word, they immediately abandon it. To me, they're kind of like that person who excitedly starts on a new diet with great plans to shed pounds until they realize that on this diet they cannot eat their favorite foods, so they abandon the diet. They're high on enthusiasm, low on commitment. Sometimes the word is heard by people who are so distracted by the cares of this world and by the lure of wealth that the word just falls flat. It cannot compete with that. And these are the seeds, Jesus tells us, that fall onto the thorns. They grow, but they're choked out. Finally, there are some seeds that fall onto good soil. And these are the people who hear the word of the kingdom of God. They understand it. They develop roots to withstand the trying times. Their commitment is to the kingdom of heaven more than anything. And the result is an abundance of God's blessings. That, as Jesus explains, is the parable. And as I warned, it is deceptively complex. You look at it and it just slithers into something else. Now, one way for us to approach parables in general is to ask a question. And the question is, where do I see myself in this particular parable? For example, in the parable of the prodigal son, do you see yourself as the loving, gracious father? Or do you identify with the wild-haired son who squanders his wealth? Or maybe you see yourself as the dutiful but complaining son who stays behind. In the parable of the sower, our reading for today, where do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the sower who's casting out seeds? Or maybe you are a batch of seeds. Or maybe you're the rocky soil. Or maybe you're a bird that eats up all the seeds. But you know what? It really doesn't matter. Because this parable, it's not for you. This parable is not for the disciples either. This parable is for the people who are on the beach, those who have not yet heard the word of God's kingdom. As a disciple, you are already privy to that word. It is in your hearts. Now, I will admit that I personally, as a disciple of Christ, yes, I've heard the word myself. But I will admit that I am not always a good soil person. Sometimes I can be like a path, hard and resistant to the word, refusing to hear. Sometimes I'm like rocky soil, eager but lacking conviction. Sometimes I fall in with the thorns and get preoccupied with the temptations of the world. Nonetheless, I do remain aware of my sin and the need for a course correction. Yes, I've heard the word. Yes, I've seen God's kingdom. Sometimes I'm in the wrong place. Now, as disciples, you would think that our job would be to prepare the soil for those falling seeds, to make the soil as rich and as accommodating as possible. But that, I don't believe, is our job. If you will recall, that sower at the beginning, what's he doing? He's just casting out seeds. He's not aiming for any particular spot on the ground. He really is just throwing beads out at Mardi Gras. Let them land where they may. Because I see in here a matter of choice or free will that is given to these seeds. They're cast out, but they have a choice as to where they might fall. Some, they'll fall on the path. Some will fall on the rocks. Some will go there among the thorns. And yes, some do fall in the good soil. So I see our job as disciples of Christ, as those who share Christ's mission of bringing the good news of the kingdom of God to the world, I see our task as doing all that we can to direct those falling seeds towards the good soil. The seeds are there, the soil is there, and we are to be shepherds for those who are falling, who are looking for their place. Here inside the church, we do this in many different ways. When I know that I am hard as a path, it's usually one of you who leads me to good soil. with one another. We do this through teaching and sharing, through caring and guiding and more. Now, outside this building, out in the world, it's a little different. We have to be creative. We have to show the world the joy and the wonder and the blessing that is God's kingdom so that we might help those people find it. That is our job as disciples, to find the falling, to be their shepherd. And may God bless us in this task every day. Amen.